Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson, here in Washington, D.C. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. We begin today's program with two stories from South Korea. Christopher Jones Cruz brings us a report on the country's upcoming presidential elections. And Brian Lin tells us about the recent opening of Seoul's tallest building. We will also hear Alice Bryant's report on Somali immigrants who may be forced to leave the United States. On What's Trending Today, Kelly Jean Kelly tells us of the worldwide reaction to the viral United Airlines video. Finally, John Russell brings us this week's Education Tips report. He has suggestions for how you can study more effectively. But first, here is Christopher Jones Cruz.
A presidential election will take place in South Korea next month. The results could produce a change in policy that may reduce tensions with North Korea and worsen them with the United States. The presidential election is set for May 9th. It is to take place earlier than planned because former President Park Geun-hye was removed from office by South Korea's National Assembly in December. That vote was confirmed by the country's Supreme Court last month. Park is accused of involvement in a multi-million-dollar bribery scandal. Government lawyers say large and powerful Korean companies were given favors in exchange for donations to organizations controlled by a friend of Park. Park was recently arrested. Prosecutors are trying to gather evidence that will permit them to charge her with bribery, extortion, and abuse of power. If she is found guilty, she could be sent to prison for more than 10 years. Because of the scandal, support for Park's conservative policies has weakened, and her party has split. The major South Korean political parties have chosen their presidential candidates. The two candidates who have received the most support in public opinion surveys are from liberal parties that have been out of power since 2008. Moon Jae-in is the Democratic Party candidate for president. A public opinion study by Real Meter says Moon has 41% support. Moon is a human rights lawyer who lost to Park in the 2012 election, partly because voters believed he was not strong enough in his criticisms of North Korea. However, Park's conservative policies have been criticized recently because of increased tensions with the North. Tensions have risen because of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un's efforts to develop nuclear and missile programs. Moon said Park's decision to limit ties with the North and use economic sanctions to pressure the North have failed. He said if he becomes president, he would put in place a limited version of the so-called Sunshine Policy of Engagement. In the early 2000s, South Korea tried to build trust with North Korea through investment, exchanges, and aid programs. At the same time, South Korea kept most sanctions in place. We need to have two tracks of measures here. We need to be able to apply some pressure and coercion on North Korea. But on the other hand, we should also start discussions and dialogue with North Korea, Moon said. Moon's support for talks with the North could cause tensions with the United States. He has said he strongly supports his country's relations with the U.S. But he has also said South Korea should learn to say no to the U.S. He has not directly opposed the deployment of an American anti-missile program in South Korea. But Moon has said it should not be deployed until after the election, so the next president can decide whether it is worth the risk of worsening relations with China. China strongly opposes the program. Moderate candidate An Chul-soo recently won the nomination of the People's Party. He has 34% support in the Real Meter poll. But his support has been growing in recent weeks. He left the 2012 presidential election to support Moon, but he says he will stay in the election this time and expects to win. An has stronger national security policies than Moon. He supports the American anti-missile system. He also approves of international sanctions placed on North Korea for violating United Nations Security Council resolutions banning its nuclear program. But An says, like Moon, he would support talks with North Korea. What is the purpose of putting in sanctions against North Korea? Because we would like to persuade them to come to the negotiating table at the time we want and under the conditions that we want, said An. Park's Conservative Party has split. Those who remain loyal to her have named themselves Liberty Party Korea. Conservatives who supported her removal from office have formed the Baroon Party. The candidates of the two parties have stronger national security policies than Park. Neither one has more than 10% support in the recent Real Meter poll. Hong Jun-pyo is the Liberty Party Korea candidate. He is a former prosecutor. He has 9% support in the Real Meter poll. In a speech accepting his party's nomination, he promised to be a resolute strongman who can deal with pressure from the United States, China, Japan, North Korea, and Russia. Hong strongly supports the anti-missile system, and he said if he is elected, he will immediately start discussions with the U.S. on the redeployment of nuclear weapons in South Korea. The U.S. removed nuclear weapons from South Korea in the early 1990s. Critics say returning them to South Korea would weaken international support for sanctions against the North's nuclear program. The U.S. has promised to use its nuclear weapons to defend the South from an attack by the North. Baroon Party presidential candidate Yoo Seong-min has 3% support in the public opinion survey. Yu was once an aide to Park. Yu successfully ran as an independent for the National Assembly. He supported Park's impeachment and then created the Barun Party. Yu also supports the deployment of nuclear weapons in South Korea. And he says the U.S. should deploy 3 anti-missile batteries, not 1, paid for by South Korea. In addition to security, the South Korean economy will be a major election issue. The major candidates have different positions on limiting the influence of the country's largest companies and increasing opportunity for young people who are having a difficult time finding good jobs. While Moon has the most support, some of the other candidates are reportedly thinking about leaving the race and giving their support to An. This would give him more support than Moon.
The fifth tallest building in the world, the Lotte World Tower, has opened in Seoul, South Korea. The event was celebrated in a ceremony with a fireworks display that lit up the building and the sky. The 123-story glass and steel structure is South Korea's tallest building. It rises 555 meters above the Seoul skyline. The tower features the world's highest floor made of glass. From this observation area, visitors can look straight down to the busy traffic about 1/2 kilometer below. The building also has the highest swimming pool in the world, as well as the world's fastest elevator. The elevator can reportedly take passengers to the top of the building in just 1 minute. The Lotte World Tower houses offices, personal residences, and a 7-star hotel. The top 10 floors are used for public events and entertainment, including the observation deck and a rooftop restaurant. Attached is a large complex with a shopping mall, aquarium, movie theater, music hall, and amusement park. The launch came during a troubled time for the Lotte Group, which is known for its international chain of supermarkets. The group's chairman and some of his family members recently went on trial for fraud and other charges. Lotte has also faced problems in China, where the government reportedly retaliated against it for providing land in South Korea for the U.S.-built THAAD anti-missile system. The building was designed by American architecture company Cohn Pedersen Fox, or KPF. It cost about $3.6 billion to build. The company said the design combines a modern aesthetic with forms inspired by the historic Korean arts of ceramics, porcelain, and calligraphy. KPF also designed the building that used to be South Korea's tallest building, Northeast Asia Trade Tower, which opened in the city of Incheon in 2014. I'm Brian Lin. Thank you.
Somalia's ambassador to the United States says his embassy has learned that U.S. immigration officers plan to deport about 4,000 Somali nationals. Ahmed Issa Awad is the Somali ambassador to the U.S. He spoke to the Voice of America's Somali service on Saturday. He said that most of those set to be removed are not in detention centers. The Somali embassy in Washington reopened in November 2015. Since then, Awad said, about 170 Somali immigrants have been deported to Mogadishu, Somalia's capital. Some of them broke U.S. law. Others applied for asylum but were denied. Another group of Somalis whose asylum requests were denied are now in detention centers or prisons. They will soon be deported. Fewer than 300 Somalis are currently set to be moved out in the next couple of months, Awad told VOA. He said that his embassy was waiting for information from U.S. authorities about who will be deported and when. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, recently arrested 82 people from 26 nations. This happened late last month during a 5-day operation in and around Washington, D.C. In a statement, ICE said 68 of those detained had previously been convicted of crimes. Awad said a 50-year-old Somali man was among those detained last month. He identified himself as a top official in Somalia's National Security Service. He had previously been deported to Somalia in 1996. According to ICE, he came back to the U.S. in 1997 under a different name, Awad said. In 2014, he was jailed for 11 months for forgery and drug-related crimes. Since then, Awad said, the man has committed other crimes. U.S. immigration officials said 8 of those arrested during ICE's recent operation had no known criminal records. They either had stayed longer than their visas permitted or ignored final orders to leave the country. Somalis who have already been sent back to Somalia have told VOA they returned to a changed and dangerous country. Somalia has not had a strong central government for more than 25 years. Because of this, many nations have not forcibly returned Somali immigrants to Somalia because of safety concerns. Immigration policies in the United States, however, have become increasingly strict under the administration of President Donald Trump. I'm Alice Bryant.
This is What's Trending Today. Airline passengers around the world were upset when videos of a man being dragged off a United Airlines flight came out on Sunday night. The videos showed blood on the man's face after his confrontation with the police. The airplane was completely full, but four airline employees still needed to get on the flight from Chicago to Louisville, Kentucky. So, the airline asked passengers to give up their seats in return for money and the chance to take another flight the next day. It is a common practice for airlines when they do not have enough available seats on a flight. No one volunteered. So, the airline said it would make a selection itself. Three people decided to leave the plane without a problem after being told they had been chosen. But one man resisted. The newspaper in Louisville reported Tuesday his name is David Dow. Passengers say Dow told the airline crew he was a doctor and had patients to see on Monday. Dow is 69. He has been practicing medicine in the U.S. since the 1970s. Some passengers said Dow said he thought he was chosen to leave the plane because he was Chinese. A different news report and another passenger said the man was originally from Vietnam. Airline employees asked police to help remove the man from his seat. Videos of the incident quickly showed up on Twitter and Facebook. They showed Dow being dragged off the plane. Other videos recorded later showed him back on the plane with blood on his face, saying, "I want to go home." Eventually, Dow was removed from the plane and treated for his injuries. The flight was delayed for 2 hours as all the passengers had to leave the plane and get back on. But as the news of the uncomfortable situation spread around the world, many people in China said they thought Dow had been chosen because he was Asian. The Chinese social media site Sina Weibo was filled with comments about the incident. The New York Times reports one story had almost 300 million views and over 150,000 comments. Readers said they thought the man was chosen because the airline thought Asian Americans are always obedient. Other readers said the United States always challenges civil rights abuses in other countries. They wondered why United Airlines thought it could treat a passenger that way. Many others said Asian people should boycott United Airlines. United is one of the busiest U.S.-based airlines in Asia. There are almost 100 flights per week to China and Hong Kong. A boycott could cause financial problems for the airline. Joe Wong is a Chinese-American comedian who called for a boycott. He used Sina Weibo to write that many Chinese people are afraid to speak about discrimination. He said that keeps media and authorities from taking complaints of discrimination against Asians seriously. The Chinese website Global Times reported a popular social media post in China showed a photo of a United Airlines airplane. The caption read, "If we cannot beat our competitors, we will beat our customers." And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
Imagine you have a test in school. It could be for a class in history or mathematics. Even worse, you could have an English test. How should you prepare for this terrible event? What can you do before the big day to help you do better? Should you reread your history or math books? What about underlining important words or sentences? If you are like many students, you probably use both rereading and underlining. But are these truly the best methods? Today, on our education report, we will explore effective and ineffective ways to study for tests. You might learn that some study habits you used in the past might not be the best methods. Rereading and highlighting are common strategies that you will see in schools around the world. Students look at information they have already read in an effort to remember what is important. Students often combine rereading with highlighting. They underline important information in what they read with a writing instrument, such as a marker. American Mary Pick is a cognitive scientist. She studies the human mind and its processes. Pick says that both rereading and highlighting are ineffective study tools. While better than not studying at all, she believes they are not as useful as other habits.
For example, with rereading, it's maybe not as effective because you're not trying to actively retrieve the information. You're not kind of seeing, what do I actually know about what I read? So with rereading, what's going to happen is that it's going to feel like you know the information because you've already read it. So you have this sense of fluency that's leading you to think, okay, yes, I know this information.
The problem with highlighting, Pick says, is that students have a false sense of understanding, similar to when they reread information. Also, there is a second problem that comes with highlighting.
Students aren't always aware of what the most important information is. So it's possible that they're maybe highlighting details that aren't as important as the higher level concept.
So what should you do if rereading and highlighting are not the best ways to study for a test? One idea is to test yourself. We have discussed self-testing strategies in other education stories. Simple flashcards and practice exams can help when you want to make sure that you have learned something. Another strategy is what education experts have called spaced practice. This means to practice remembering the new information over time instead of doing everything all at once. We will discuss spaced practice in a future education tip story. Regardless of which strategy you choose, you should know that effective learning takes time. And it takes effort. The next time you have a test coming, try to plan for the big day so that you can give yourself time to engage in different study habits. And remember, rereading and highlighting are better than not studying at all, but there are better methods out there. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow for more stories and information from around the world. For VOA Learning English, I'm Ashley Thompson.